You have put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise. A sound that resonates, that all of heaven and earth may worship you. We tread the hills to meet with you, to see your majesty in all that surrounds us. For it speaks and displays the eternal God of ages, creator, author, victor. In love, you established an everlasting covenant with your people, and it's your love that captivates us. As children of the King, we rush in as waves unrestrained, overcome, overwhelmed, that the King crowned in glory and splendor would reach down to place a crown upon our heads. So we raise our banner, the banner we boldly stand under, the banner of Jesus Christ. From dusk to dawn, from age to age, your praise resounds in all the earth. Deliverer, Redeemer, ruler of an everlasting kingdom that cannot be shaken. We trust in the name of Christ Jesus, the only King, forever.
Welcome to Zion's Redemption Radio. This is Fundamentally Mormon. I'm your host, Mark Lichtenwalter. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. You can find this at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. And the text will also be posted on my Facebook wall at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. You can also find the text and the audio to this radio program on iTunes at Fundamentally Mormon and in the different Facebook groups that I am an admin of. Some of those groups are LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, LDS Gospel Mysteries, Latter-day Unity, and others. You can find the pages that I admin also on my Facebook wall. And if you enjoy this program, please friend request me or follow me and make me one of your close friends. We try to put out as many episodes as we can during the week. But I'm thankful for you to be here today. Let's get right into the reading today. We are going to be reading out of Ogden Kraut's books. You can find his books for free to read online at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. Okay, so we're going to be continuing on with the coming American Revolution. We'll be on page 34, which is chapter 3. And I thought I was on the right page, but let me just get to it real quick. And it's 34 to 42 is the page numbers. You can read this for free online at ogdenkraut.com. And oh, there it is. Okay. All right. So, and if we, if you're reading along in Ensign to the Nations, it's in Ensign to the Nations, Volume 5, page 2710. And what we're going to talk about tonight is police brutality. I am Facebook live streaming this as well. We had somebody come fix the internet, so hopefully it works. I don't know. This is the first time I've tried to do a live stream in a long time, so hopefully it works. And I just finished a, I don't know, like 13-and-a-half-hour day. I got up at 6 o'clock this morning and went to work, and then I got off at 7:30, I think it was. And came home, programmed the radio show and the Facebook Live, and got everything ready. Took a shower, got got dressed, and then started back on the thing. So let me just get right into the reading. All right, so I did want to say something about this first. I'm not exactly sure when Ogden wrote this particular book, because it doesn't say in the beginning of the book, but he has been he's been gone for quite some time. He passed away a number of years ago. So all of this stuff that he was talking about in this book, the coming American Revolution, you're watching it play out before you today in live action. And a lot of people don't understand why things are happening. He talks about that here. We're going through a Bolshevik revolution, an attempted coup of the United States of America. And the poison of communism has reared its ugly head in our society. And they don't call it communism or the Soviet Union or anything like that anymore. They call it socialism. And they try to tell you that socialism is a good thing. And that's the way it always has been. Every time the communists rise up, they want to brainwash the younger generation about how wonderful it is. And it's not wonderful. People don't leave the United States to go to communist nations. It's the other way around. They leave there to come here because this is where freedom and liberty is. They understand the jackbooted thugs of communist socialism where they live. So they leave there and they come here. So anyway, let's get into the reading. So we're on page 34. Crime in the United States has increased nearly 8 times faster than the population explosion. To meet this outbreak of violence and lawlessness, civil order can only be deterred by the enforcement of our local police forces. However, the judicial courts have been gradually circumscribing and infringing upon the controls and jurisdiction of police officers. Arresting criminals has become increasingly difficult for police. Added to the increased controls and handcuffs that are placed on the law officer, he has become the target of violent attacks and a verbal barrage of charges from certain groups of protectors. United States Representative Bert L. Talcott of California affirmed this view, quote, "Civil disobedience and violence have assumed crisis proportions in our land, and the time has come to call a spade a spade. In recent riots, many of our great cities are not just legitimate protests by civil rights advocates. They are not just spontaneous expressions of hopelessness or of frustration on the part of disadvantaged slum dwellers. Rather, they are all too often conscious planned attacks on the very fabric of our society, penetrated by the lawless insurrectionists who thrive on turmoil and discord. Such elements key their actions to minor involvements of citizens with the police over traffic violations, domestic problems, fire hydrants, and the like. Then they go into action with their bricks, firebombs, and guns to reduce an area to shambles and a neighborhood to fear and trembling. This characterizes such behavior as legitimate civil rights activity is patently false. Let's see here. I got to say something real quick about this. In these riots that you're seeing on the news, if you go watch on YouTube and look for, like, type in riot bricks, like, there are pallets of bricks where these riots are going on. Somebody is financing this. They're putting the pallets of bricks in places where there's no construction, and they're putting them in there so that these people will have something to destroy their communities with. and they're bussing in protesters. Now, one of these dipwads on CNN, he was like, where does it say that that protests have to be peaceful? It actually says it in the Second Amendment, I think it is. Maybe it's the first. We're allowed to peaceably assemble, okay? That's the law. When provocateurs come in to start riots and start killing people and destroying people's property, that is against the law. We don't have a civil, or we don't have a constitutional right to destroy other people's property. And guess what? Even if it is the government's property, guess who the government belongs to? We the people. And those taxes that have to be paid so that these things can be repaired are taken out of every single one of our wallets and paychecks. They're destroying these cities all across America. And then these Democrats, and they're always in Democratic-run districts. These Democratic mayors and governors are trying to get the federal government to pay for the destruction that they allowed to happen in their cities. Because these Democratic mayors and city councilmen and women and these governors that are Democratic socialists are paid and trained Marxists. The BLM, the leaders of the BLM are on video admitting that they are paid and trained, highly trained Marxists. If you don't know what a Marxist is, please look it up on the internet or whatever. Figure it out, because these are enemies of the Constitution. They're enemies of the Republic. They are Soviet Union Bolshevik revolutionaries that are trying to destroy this nation. And this BLM organization is just part of a front group, and they use BLM to try to say, we're trying to help the community. They're not trying to help anyone but the socialist democratic people in Congress and city councils and president races and all of this. Now, I've already talked about why the Democratic Party is immoral. They take your money to fund their programs to give to other people. God wants us to be charitable, and a lot of Christians will run and they'll say, well, we should be charitable. We should be doing all. Yes, you should. Through charities and organizations and churches, not by the jackbooted thug government stealing our money out of our income taxes and using it in every other flipping tax that they can try to do, and giving it to people who may be worthy of it, and maybe they're not worthy of it. But the fact of the matter is, it's immoral to steal, and just because they legislate theft doesn't make it right. Continuing on with the quote, civilized society has the right, yes, the obligation to itself and to generations yet unborn. We're on page 35 for any of you following along. To prevent erosion of the rule of law, even now many of our cities are jungles where crimes of all types flourish, where physical violence against individuals is an everyday occurrence. And that's not the police's fault. That's happening. Okay, for you out there that want to flip out about the few bad apples in the police departments across the United States, guess what? They're human. That's going to happen. There are bad apples all throughout society. And when they are found, they are rooted out. Okay? But when you have these police officers, especially in the inner city, and especially hand-tied by these Democratic leaders, and they have to go through all of the abuse that they have to go through all the time, you're going to have people get burnt out. And it's not their fault. And this whole thing about white privilege – Let me tell you something about white privilege. I would rather have black privilege. What's black privilege? African American privilege. African American privilege is where you can pretend to be the victim when you are the criminal who started the problems in your own society. You can go and do things and then say, well, I don't have to, you know, these police, they're brutally hurting me and all this. This George Floyd crap, he had been in prison, I think, 9 times. He died of a fentanyl overdose. In the newly released video footage, we see that he was saying he couldn't breathe while he was still in his car before anything happened. Now, the police officers, they should have notified, but you know what? Let me say this first. They should have gotten an ambulance out there. But there's probably nothing they could have done about him anyway, because he had many, many, many more times the doses and levels of fentanyl in his system than somebody can survive. He did that to himself. He couldn't breathe before anything else happened. But they tried to hide it. These videos were leaked, but they tried to hide it because they wanted a narrative to be enforced. They wanted a narrative to be enforced so that they could do what they do, because these people will use anything that they can to destroy this country. This other kid that got shot in the back 7 times, he was a convicted sexual, he had a warrant out for his arrest for third degree sectional felony and some other domestic violence and a bunch of other things. He was told they tried to taser him. They tried to arrest him. He somehow got away from them. He went to his car where there was a knife on the floorboard. And there were children in the car. He's a wanted felon on a felony warrant trying to get into a car with innocent children, and they want to flip out. Why didn't they just let him drive away? Well, why would you let a felon who's convicted domestic violence, not convicted, but on a warrant? Why would you let a criminal, a dangerous criminal, somebody who had raped his girlfriend, and yeah, you can rape your girlfriend when she says no and doesn't want it. Why would you let that guy drive off with 3 or 4, whatever it is, innocent children? But they use that to try to create discord in our nation to do all these things. And now this city is completely destroyed. It looks like a war zone. The fact that President Trump or any of these other agencies allowed this to happen is disgusting. We as taxpaying citizens have the right to expect our law enforcement and our National Guard to protect us against enemy invaders, foreign and domestic, you know, people who are enemies, foreign and domestic. We pay taxes for that protection. And the fact that there are whole neighborhoods in the city, in these different cities, that have been destroyed and multiple murders, which you don't hear about, allowed to happen, they're not protecting us. And when President Trump goes in to protect a federal building, which he has the full right and authority to do, they call him a fascist dictator. He didn't bring the violence. He was protecting a federal courthouse, which was worth billions, or if not hundreds of millions of dollars. And these Bolshevik communists who give you propaganda lies, yeah, at CNN and MSNBC and all these other fake news media outlets, they stoke this division because that is their goal, to destroy the foundation and of this country, just like Barack Hussein Obama did. We're going to fundamentally change this country. He did more to cause race division in this country than anyone else, including President Trump. Continuing on with the quote, I subscribe to the fundamental principles of any stable democratic society, that law must be obeyed and order enforced. Society cannot countenance insurrection while it toils to eliminate ignorance, poverty. We must respect, cooperate with, and support our local police. We cannot tolerate conduct which does not constitute good citizenship. Riots, like wars, are difficult to explain. Nevertheless, we must cope with these phenomena because they are intolerable, and perhaps there is no one solution, but I propose that we start with the individual and work up rather than the federal level and percolate down. I've been sick all for a week, so my daughter stayed home from school, I think Monday or Tuesday last week, and she brought me home a little gift and gave it to me and my wife and other members of the family. So I'm still dealing with it, but it's not near as bad as it was. So I'm going to try to work through this, but one earns rather than demands respect and acceptability. Goals, even worthy goals obtained by force, fear, or hooliganism, are short-lived and excessively expensive. We cannot obtain worthy goals by unworthy means. Time and energy spent on learning is more profitable than looting. Reading is better than rioting. Work is more satisfactory than welfare. Building is more productive than bombing. Society has the immediate responsibility to put down insurrection, to control mobs, and to prevent violence, to secure the peace of a community, to guarantee personal safety, and to protect property. For these important duties, we rely on our policemen. Okay, and like, this is the Supreme Court actually passed a law a couple years ago that states that the police department doesn't have to protect you from anyone. But back when Ogden wrote this, they did have to protect us from if they could. They had an obligation to serve and protect. Okay, used to see that on police cars. To secure the peace of a community, to guarantee personal safety, and to protect property. For these important duties, we rely on our policemen. With minor isolated exceptions, they perform superbly, on page 36. See, but now the police departments don't have to do that. So you have your Second Amendment rights to protect yourself. And if you do that, then these socialist, communist, Bolshevik, revolutionary, Democrat mayors and district attorneys and whatever, like with this kid, the 17-year-old kid that was being chased down and attacked by a thug with a skateboard and another guy with a pistol, and somebody else had been shooting at him, he used his rifle to defend himself from being attacked by three individuals who came after him, who were white, by the way, but the media want to say he's a white supremacist. He didn't kill any black people. He didn't threaten any black people, and there's no evidence that ever happened, but they're going to sit there and they're going to label this Kyle kid, Rittenhouse, as a white supremacist? Because he killed three white individuals, all with criminal history, one on the sexual offenders registry, who should not have had a pistol, but he did. And you know what? I'm glad he got shot. I hope he goes to prison. And Kyle, They want to throw him in the, under the prison. Facebook won't allow fundraisers for him, but they'll allow fundraisers for these other criminals like this Jacob kid. It's because these people want the overthrow of this nation. They are not your friends. They are your enemies. Okay? And if you're on their side, the first people that they go after are the people that helped them get into power. If you just look at history, that's the way it always has been, and it's the way it always will be. And when they get in control, everybody is in a prison system in this country. Go take a look at 1980s, 70s, 60s, 50s, East Berlin, and see how they treated their people. We have protections against that in this country, but it is going to be destroyed. And maybe it's the way it's got to be because the people are so damn wicked that they allow so many things in their society that are just beyond ridiculous. Our system of law enforcement excels any other in the world in spite of the freedoms accorded our citizens, including hoodlums. The courts recently have leaned over backwards to protect the offender, which makes the job of police officers more demanding. I thank God every day I live in Emery County, Utah, because we don't have that crap here. Yeah, we do have crime in this community. But the sheriffs and the law enforcement of this community and Carbon County as well, they're good, honest individuals. They believe in the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law, but they will go after people who are destroying other people's property and lives. In fact, I've lived in Everett, Washington, Moses Lake, Washington, Las Vegas, Nevada, Nielsen, Nevada, Laguna Niguel, California. I didn't really live there, but my aunt and uncle lived there, and we used to go visit them a lot. Mission Viejo, California. Let's see, all up and down the Wasatch Front, Soda Springs, Idaho, Spencer, Idaho, which is where I consider home. Let's see, where else have I lived? St. Petersburg, Florida, Pensacola, Florida, Fort Walton Beach, Florida, Lisbon, New Hampshire. I served my mission in four different areas of Georgia, southern Georgia. And I used to live in Japan. The law enforcement in the community where I live, they're the best that I've ever seen. Anyway, continuing on with the quote. And this is a quote from Congressman Bert Talcott, and he's not a congressman. I don't think he's a congressman anymore, but he might be. Who knows? "We who are so completely protected by police officers should reciprocate. We should obey the law as we expect others to do. We should support the police as we expect them to respect us. We should be as quick to applaud good police performance as we are to criticize poor performance. But first, I believe the American people are faced with a grave and fundamental decision which could determine our future as a nation. Either the rule of law will prevail or sustain us, or the primeval law of the jungle will envelop us." And you're seeing that happen right now in this country with this attempted Bolshevik revolution that's going on right now. And that was Congressman Bert Talbot, and that's in The Defender. I guess that's a book or a magazine, I don't know, and that's pages 7 and 8. The slogan, "Police brutality," is not a new one. Book was written, I think, over 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. Ogden Kraut saw it coming. This is not new. This is not new at all. And you idiots out there that think that this is like, you know, oh, the police are so bad. Guess what? They're not. If you actually look at the facts and the statistics, you'll realize that all of these arguments that they've been making are a bunch of crap. But you know what? You know, screw that. You know, throw out your facts and just, you know, go with the narrative that they want you to go with. Okay? Don't have any critical thinking skills. The slogan police brutality is not a new one. Wherever a revolution takes place, there is a constant harassment of the police forces. Dr. Stefan Paulsenly, director of the Program of International Political Studies at the Hoover Institute at Stanford University and a recognized authority on communism, was asked by the United States News and World Report about the significance of communist activities in the United States. And he replied, so we're on page 37 if you want to read along. First of all, it is significant that communists are making trouble for the U.S. United States today. Secondly, it is significant that this is a recruiting operation. Training an organization of communist revolutionaries for the America of tomorrow. The numbers are not large, but numbers do not mean much in this sort of activity. A small group of people can create a great deal of unrest, and organizers are always small in number. Let's see here. Essentially, this whole operation that is going on today is an old communist technique known as revolutionary anti-militarism. Communists have written entire textbooks on the subject. BLM leaders are admitted trained Marxists. This is going on in your society, and you're falling for it, hook, line, and sinker. Is it any wonder why God told me in 2016 to get out of the cities and to warn everybody to get out of the cities? He knew this was coming, and guess what? He wanted to protect me, so he got me out of there. And I warned people, and nobody listened. Sounds like somebody else I know, like Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Isaiah or any of those guys. They were all vindicated by history, but in their time, they were looked at as vagabonds and nut jobs. The idea is to make it possible for the military to function efficiently. The same applies to our police or to other vital institutions. The weaker the police, the easier it is for the communists to operate. So it's like death by a thousand cuts. They do these things and keep wearing them down and getting the laws changed and complaining about how they're victims when they're the criminals. And they keep doing this until these police forces are worn out and worn down and defunded. And it's not for your protection. It's so that they can destroy, because the police officers are your first line of defense. This is why the militia needs to rise up, and individual Second Amendment people need to rise up. Up in Coeur d'Alene, Washington, Antifa and BLM tried to go into Spokane, Washington. Or no, it's Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And guess who showed up? Patriots with their long arms and their handguns. And guess what didn't happen? They didn't have riots. They didn't have violent riots in their city. They allowed the peaceful protesters to peacefully protest, but they were not going to have their society destroyed by these communist Bolshevik revolutionary thugs. The police brutality slogan has been used by the communists in free countries for many years. The subject is taboo in the Soviet Union or in East Germany, where they don't hesitate to shoot down refugees. If you study the record of past revolutions, you'll find in the period just before the revolution of the many phenomenon that are occurring in the United States today. The crime rate goes up, for example. In fact, before a revolution, you usually have what you call a crime epidemic. You have loosening sexual morals. Okay, that's part of the program. Okay, loosening family ties. What does BLM want to do? They want to destroy the traditional family. What do these liberals want to do? They want to destroy the traditional families. That's all part of the revolution. That's all part of the communist takeover and the Bolshevik revolution. Things that have loosening sexual things that would have raised the roof 20 years earlier are considered perfectly acceptable in a pre-revolutionary period. This is very clearly true in the United States today, page 38. There will be more charges of policeality whenever the police make a stand against the riots, demonstrations, or revolutionary activities of the Communist Party. They charge brutally against others when they are interfered with in their use of brutality. Police forces are realizing the Communist Party hates them, and they will do everything they can do to discredit everything that tends to maintain law and order. And you know what? That may have been the way it was back when Ogden wrote this book back in the 80s before the Soviet Union fell. And we all knew back then who the enemy was. But over time, we've gotten lazy and slothful. And now this rising generation has never had to deal with some of the stuff that we had to deal with when I was younger. And so they don't know. This is why the Soviet Union allowed itself to fake its death, where they took off the uniforms and put on suits and ties, but these KGB thugs were the same people before the fall as after the fall. And the reason why they did that, according to the Father, our Father in heaven, he told me the reason that they did this is so that we would let down our guard so they could destroy this country, because they knew they could not defeat us militarily. And Khrushchev, back in 1957, the Prime Minister of Russia, the Soviet Union, at the United Nations General Assembly, which is also part of this cabal of deep, dark, deep state, whatever. Khrushchev said that we would fall like ripe fruit into his hands. It would be basically death by a thousand cuts. That they would give us communism. He said communism, but they changed the word so it doesn't mean the same thing. It means the same damn thing. That we would fall like ripe fruit into their hands, and that they would not have to send their militaries here. And guess what? You're watching it happen in live time today. When Joseph Smith said that the Constitution would hang by the finest of silk threads, and that we may or may not save it, we're there now. It's happening right now. Please stand for law and order. The Communist Party or the Marxist revolutionaries seek chaos and anarchy. Only by breaking down the police enforcement can communists gain their objectives. And you know what they did? They get people into positions of power. District attorneys, mayors, city councils, governors, and in the House and the Senate and everywhere in between, so that they can do the things that they do. And this nation is saturated with them. This nation is saturated with these people who want to destroy the society, because they have received strong delusion that they believe, but because they believe the lie of the Soviet Union and communism and liberalism and leftism. They believe the lie. They receive strong delusion from God himself, because they are enemies of God. And people who think that they're on the side of God and they support these cabals of these dark secret societies, these Gadianton robbers, I'm sorry, as I've explained before, just because you legislate stealing people's money to give to other people doesn't make it moral. It might make it legal, but not in the eyes of God. And you should be taking care of people. If you really want to take care of people, stop forcing your agenda upon us and take your wallet out and help people. The American people are the most generous people in the world, but we shouldn't be using the government to pay off all these nations around the world, and we shouldn't be using the government to pay off all these welfare queens and these policies that have destroyed the family. It's all part of the destruction of traditional values and families. That's Satan's program. It's not God's. And anybody who supports a Democratic Party when they murder babies in the womb, children in the womb, you are not on the side of God. The God that you worship, his name is Satan. And he comes to you as an angel of light and convinces you of all the things that you do, that it's right and it's not right. With each passing day, it is becoming more clear to the average citizen that it is criminal brutality and not police brutality that needs our our deepest concerns. Page 39. A special committee on the House of Representatives reported on charges of police brutality. This committee report number 2290 on January 17th, 1961, in which it stated, "The public should not overlook the fact that police are human beings and are carrying out orders to resist or break up communist demonstrations when staged in defiance of the law." Okay? You have the right to peacefully protest. If you do anything other than peacefully protest, it is not part of your constitutional rights. Brian Stelter of CNN, you ignorant idiot. And who's this other guy? Oh, I can't remember his name. The CNN anchor that has the brother that's the governor of New York. These idiot block of wood, as Ben Shapiro says. Anyway, continuing on. Often roughhouse tactics prevail, and communist women and children insult and spit upon the police and scratch and bite them. And what are you seeing? You're seeing these videos where these kids are like, you know what you should do? If you want to help, when you get arrested, you should just pee in the cop car, because then it'll take the cop car out of service, because they have to shampoo it and clean it out before they can use it again. Okay, they're using children to do these things. Ignorant little children that don't know any better, who have been brainwashed by these leftists in your community and your education system. And that's another thing. In Tennessee, there was this teacher who was like, oh, parents can see what we're teaching the kids. They shouldn't be allowed to see that. We're not going to be able to brainwash them. And a whole bunch of teachers were like, they should be allowed to watch what we're teaching the kids. And then they send out this consent form telling the parents, you're not allowed to watch what your kids are being taught. They have to have privacy so we can brainwash them. That's not what they said, but that's basically what they said. There has been too much denunciation of the police for alleged brutality by pinks and metropolitan papers, newspapers. We remember this was written in 1961. The committee believes that the American public owes a debt of gratitude to the police of New York, Chicago, and many other metropolitan centers for affording protection against the lawless and revolutionary activities of the communists, and in safeguarding foreign consulates from insults and mass communist demonstrations. Excuse me. Lyman B. Kirkpatrick, Jr., Inspector General of the Staff of the Director of the Central Intelligence Agency, during testimony before the Senate Internal Security Subcommittee, said, quote, "Let me describe briefly the history of the communist war against the police in one of the major countries of the free world. This particular country has a long history of excellent police service and a law dating back many years requiring that the police force be completely divorced from all politics. Further, until the communist politicians started to create trouble in recent years, there have never been an incident on record showing police interference with the administration of the police force. Page 40. In this particular nation, there is a national police force which has five levels but is organized on a national, provincial, and local basis. The communist technique has been directed primarily towards discrediting the police in the eyes of the people. On the local level, communist troublemakers would start fights in public places in order to involve the local police. When the police went into action, the troublemakers linked arms in an effort to show that it was the police who were causing the incident. Communists will exert every effort to prevent the development of a strong police force. The communist attack on the police of the free world is dangerous for two reasons. First is the attacks are fanatical, disciplined, and skilled in underground methods. Second, the campaign against the police of one free country is not planned and directed by the Communist Party of that country. It is planned and directed by strategists of international communism. And that was written, that was reported June 13th, 1961. J. Edgar Hoover warned citizens of police review boards. Now, he was so effective against these communists that they had to say a whole bunch of things about the guy to try to discredit him. Okay, and that's what they do. They will lie and discredit people that are effective. Okay, and it's just like if you're effective. Okay, first of all, the devil is going to take notice and come against you. But you know what? If you're getting flack, you must be over the target. So J. Edgar Hoover said, these panels would consist of appointed individuals who are inexperienced and uninformed in law enforcement and police administration. This drive for eternal boards is an ill-advised maneuver. And end quote, Law Enforcement Bulletin of FBI, January 1965. Such a board of unfriendly motives could harass a police officer and cause suspension or relieve him of his job. Every arrest by an officer could mean a special review to which he would have to answer to any charges by the criminal. Okay, so like I said, I wish I had black privilege. It's better than white privilege. You think that white privilege is so great? If I commit a crime, I can't pretend to be the victim every time I commit a crime. If I'm a criminal and I'm an African American, I will use everything that I can to be the victim to get the charges waived against me. That is what it means to have black privilege in this country. And they are using that to destroy this country. If you think that Joe Biden loves blacks, when he voted for segregation and Kamala Harris, his VP pick, like, Joe Biden was so horrible. He loved segregation. He opposed busing. And I was a little girl who was on the second class of people who were bused into the schools. And you wanted to do something like you wanted to go against that. You're a racist. Basically, that's what she said like a year ago. And now she's like, I was just kidding. It was a Democratic. These people they're not trustworthy. They will do anything that they can do for power. Anything that they can do for power. We're on page 41. We're reading two more pages, and then I'm going to open up the guest call-in lines. Now, you can call anytime you want with your questions and comments. If you do, press 1, and I'll bring you on the air. And if you don't, then I won't, and I'll just end the program. And that's fine with me. But The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. We're on page 41. We've got two pages left. Thomas J. Gibbons, former police commissioner of Philadelphia, said concerning one of these review boards, quote, "In 1953, we had 2,000 applicants for police recruits and accepted 1,000. In 1960, things have changed. Hardly anyone wants to be a policeman in my city." End quote, Saturday Evening Post, July 9th, 1960. And you know what? If these people allow these communities to be destroyed and allow the defending of police officers, guess what people like me are doing? I'm a truck driver. Guess where we're not going? Our companies aren't going to resupply your cities because they are too dangerous for us to go into. And you know what? Then you're going to have rioting and you're going to have a rise in crime. You're going to have more murders, and you're already seeing this in major metropolitan cities across the United States. And it's going to get so bad that they're going to have to call out the National Guard. And these ignorant, democratic governors who are not protecting their society, their people that put them into office, against these rioting thugs and these criminals, they ought to be taken out and hung for treason, as far as I'm concerned. I'm all in favor of the hanging tree for treasonous individuals. They're allowing their communities to be destroyed. The government should protect law-abiding citizens and business owners, and they're not allowing that to happen. And don't tell me the insurance is going to come in with billions and billions of dollars. All that they're going to do is, if they do rebuild anything, all they're going to do is raise the rates. And guess what? The business owners, if they can afford the rates, guess who they're going to pass it on to? The people that destroyed their communities and the law-abiding citizens that live there. Allowing these things to happen has fundamental like trickle-down effects on the society that you may not understand. Anyway, continuing on. The police in our guardian, the police are our guardians of freedom and therefore are among the first to become the major targets of the communists or the Marxists, you want to call them that. The more effective the police force, the more vital it is for the communist Marxists to destroy it. There is an intimate clash between the police and the communists, and the police become some of the first to learn of that communist, that the Communist Party is not just some other political party, but an international conspiracy. I got to fix this real quick. Okay. Police are the custodians of freedom for the American citizen. They are the vanguards against the most highly organized band of criminals ever known, the International Communist Party. In 1968, there were 15.8 assaults on police officers for every 100 officers in the country. This means that one of every 7 officers is being attacked every 12 months. And why are they having problems? Why are they having problems? Because they are being attacked. They're being demoralized. They're being pitted against the society. I am having issues with my my camera. It keeps on wanting to tilt to the side, and I don't know why. And I'm afraid if I try to fix it, it's going to fix me by falling on the floor or something. Because that's usually what happens. Satan, get thee behind me. In the name of Jesus, Yeshua. Seriously? I told you. All right. Someday I'll get better at all this. Police are the custodians of freedom for the American citizen. They are the vanguards against the most highly trained band of criminals ever known, the International Communist Party. In 1960, I already read all this. Let's see here. The police are being bombarded with rocks, bottles, and bricks, or soup cans, or frozen water bottles, or anything else, lasers, whatever, shot at from rooftops and often hospitalized by wounds of clubs, spikes, meat hooks. These are altogether far too many police horribly murdered while in the line of duty while protecting the average citizen, you and me. There's more cops being killed in this country by these criminals than are going after black people. In 2019, there were nine unarmed African Americans in the United States that were killed by police shootings. And often, like Trayvon Martin and these others, they were attacking the guy, the hands up, don't shoot guy, not Trayvon Martin. I can't remember his name. He was charging the police officers who he had already attacked and tried to grab his gun and shoot in the car. So just because he wasn't armed doesn't mean he wasn't a threat. There were nine police shootings of unarmed African-American people last year. Nine. Not thousands, like so many. The word on the street, you go and you ask, how many do you think it is? Oh, thousands. Oh, everybody's getting killed. That's because the propaganda machine wants you to believe that, so you will rise up in your ignorance to destroy the country that protects you. Make you hate them when you're going to hate what comes. Because guess what? It ain't the Republicans that are going to put you back in chains. When they take over, they are going to put you back in chains. It's all part of the White Horse prophecy. Page 42, policeman. The policeman is many things. He's a son, a brother, a father, an uncle, and sometimes even a grandfather. Like, the widow of the guy who got murdered at the pawn shop in St. Louis. I can't remember what his name is. They just murdered him. He was a retired police officer that went to see what was going on at a pawn shop that had nothing to do with brutality or anything like that, but they were going to loot it, which these Democratic officials just allow. It's protected under the Constitution. Which is a lie. He is a protector in time and need of comfort in time of sorrow. His job calls him to be a diplomat, a psychologist, a lawyer, a friend, and an inspiration. He suffers from an overdose of publicity about brutality and dishonesty. He suffers far more from the notoriety produced by unfounded charges. Too often, and this is, if you, any of you guys out there in Emory County, if you, any of you watch this, and I know I've got followers in the county and you're police officers, and I have a good friend who's a police officer in this county. If they don't give you a body cam, you need to put one on you because it could come here just as fast as everywhere else. You need to protect yourself. I'm only a truck driver, but I've got two dash cams in my semi-truck going at all times. Okay, and I've looked into getting a body cam for myself because I have enemies in the community that have tried to provoke me and pull me into fights and stuff. And then I've had other people make accusations against me in the community, just banking up crap and trying to get me in trouble and arrested for it. You know, and luckily the police officers are like, there's no evidence to that, you know. But this is the society that we live in. If you are a threat to the devil's kingdom, he's going to try to destroy you. Okay? And if you're a police officer, you are a threat to the Communist Party, and they will try to destroy you. And we've got people going through Emory County all the time from California and Arizona and Colorado. And all they got to do is start making accusations and try to bait and hook these officers. And I feel sorry for you if you're not protected. Let's see here. Too often sets of heroism go unnoticed, and the truth is buried under all the criticism. The fact is that less than 0.5% of policemen ever discredit their uniform. That's a far better average than you'll find among clergymen. Okay? A police officer is an ordinary guy who is called upon for extraordinary bravery for us. His job may sometimes seem routine, but the interruptions can be monuments of stark terror. He is a man who faces a half-crazed gunman, who rescues a lost child, who challenges a mob, who risks his neck more often than we realize, and he deserves our respect and our profound thanks. 99.9% of them, they deserve that. That thin blue line, it really does exist. And you define these police officers, you are allowing the criminals to come after innocent people. That's the lunacy of all this crap that is going on right now. You're allowing them to come against innocent business owners and homeowners and, you know, just everyday ordinary people. These criminals, these governors who are allowing criminals to come out of the prison system under a threat of a virus that has a 99.9% recoverability rate. This is the overthrow of this nation. It's all part of the Bolshevik Revolution. It is the way it is. There's a check-by-check playbook of how they do things, and you idiots out there don't even know what's going on. And I'm sorry to call you idiots, but you're ignorant as all hell. So many of you are so ignorant. A police officer is a man who faces half-crazed gunmen who rescues a lost child. I already said that. The police officer stands between a law-abider and the lawbreaker. He is the prime reason for your home hasn't been burned, your family abused, your business is looted. Try to imagine what might happen if there are no policemen around. And then try to think of ways to make their job more rewarding. Show them the respect you really have. Offer them a smile and a kind word. See that they don't have to be magicians to raise their family on less than adequate salaries. And let me just tell you something real quick. Okay, I have one paragraph left. If anybody has any questions or comments, the guest call-in line is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. Okay? Now, we shouldn't be giving police officers things for special favors. Okay? If you're a speeder and you get caught speeding, guess what? Take it, because you speed and you deserve your damn ticket, even if it's a mile an hour over. The speed limit is the speed limit. Okay? If you commit a crime, don't expect special privileges because you were nice to a police officer. Because their job is to protect society. And if you're breaking laws, you are damaging society. Okay? All right. We think policemen are great. We thank God for all the little boys who said that they would become policemen and who kept their promises. We hope you feel the same way, and we hope you'll show it. So there will always be enough good policemen to go around. So the next chapter, it starts on page 43. It's chapter 4, and it's called The Black Belt. So we're going to talk about that next time we come on. It might be tomorrow. It might be Wednesday. I don't know. I'm about dying here because I do have a cold. But I don't see anybody on the guest call-in line. So I don't think anybody's going to call in. Let me just refresh the screen to make sure. I got to get up at 6 in the morning anyway, and it's 10, so I don't mind that there's not anybody who's calling in. But, yeah, we don't have anybody who's calling in. So I'm going to leave it at that. I'll try to post this on Facebook for one, but I'll try to post this also on YouTube. And hopefully it works. It's been a while since I've been able to do this, so we'll see what happens. But thank you for listening to the program. Thank you for watching the live stream on Facebook at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. And we'll be with you again in the future sometime for the next chapter of the coming American Revolution. Take care, everyone. God bless. Get your guns, your ammunition, your food storage, your camping supplies, and everything that you can, because guess what? We're in end times, and this is the birth pains. And it's just the way it is, and I don't know what to tell you, but it's coming down the pike. So anyway, thank you for watching, everyone. Take care. God bless, and goodbye.